And I understand that in some bizarre way, that to stand here on Sunday morning is to place my soul at risk. Now, maybe you don't believe that. Maybe you think I'm exaggerating that, but that's what I believe. Judgment starts in the temple. And I believe in this time and place, it'll start right here. And that is not a cause of pride or arrogance for me. That scares the living daylights out of me. And it reminds me of this. I believe that God's grace is necessary for the nations. I believe there is no one in all of God's world that will not one day need to answer to Him. And I believe that there is no one in all of God's world that will not need His forgiveness. But I know that no one will need it more than me. Because judgment starts in the temple. I was in my first full-time appointment serving two churches. And I was asked by one of the elderly couples of the church to do a wedding for their grandchild. I had never met the grandchild or the parents even, just the grandparents. But they had the wedding planned, they had the date set, they had the church arranged for, and all of a sudden the pastor of the church couldn't be there for the wedding. And they were stuck and they needed somebody. So I said, of course I'll do it. I drove over two counties to a church I'd never been to. We didn't have time to have a rehearsal. I met with the couple immediately before the wedding, talked about the vows and what we were doing, where we were going to stand. It wasn't a big wedding. It was fairly simple. We had the wedding, and I guess it went off okay. I don't particularly remember the wedding as much as I remember the reception afterwards, because I was invited back into the church fellowship hall for the reception, and I'm kind of milling around amongst strangers. Nobody there knew me. And the father of the groom stepped up and introduced himself. And said, oh, it's very nice to meet you. I said, it was nice to be a part of this holy moment. And he kind of, okay. And in my mind, I said, do you not approve of the bride? And he says, No, it's not that. He says, I've just, the whole church thing. He says, he throws his hands up, the whole church thing. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah. He said, you know, I see it like this. He says, I lead a good life. I try to treat people well and fairly. I've never cheated on a business deal. I pay my taxes. Good citizen. What need do I have of God and His forgiveness? I think I said something like, well, but. Got in the car and I'm driving home. By now it's dark, it's late, there's fog on the road. I come around a curve and I almost hit another car that is off, two wheels off the road, two wheels in the ditch. And there's a man out there by the car. He's leaning on the roof of the car. And at first I think he's hurt. I stop and I get out. And, hey, how are you okay? And he kind of staggers to his feet. And I go, oh, okay, got it. He says, I run out of gas. I said, well, yeah, some time ago, but apparently you didn't notice. He said, no, I need a ride. I said, where do you live? And it's right on the way home. Get in the car, I'll take you. So we get in the car, and it's quiet for a minute or two, and then you got to make small talk. You from around here? In this small, it turns out this fellow, although I didn't recognize him, I'd gone to high school with him. I knew his sister better. She was my age. He was a couple years older. But we got to talking about how things were going in his life. He says, oh, I've messed everything up. He says, I lost my job. I lost my wife and kids. He says, I've been from one rehab center to another. He says, but you can probably tell I haven't quit. He said, yeah, I noticed. He said, what about you? I said, well, that's funny. I've just come back from doing a wedding. I'm pastor up here in the town where you live now. He said, oh, and it's quiet again for a long time this time. I pull up in the driveway of the house where he's staying. He's staying with a friend because he doesn't have anything. And he opens up the door to get out of the car. And he's got one foot out of the car. And he stops and he turns back towards me. And he says, preacher, would you pray for me? Well, I said, of course I would. And so we bowed our heads together and I held his hands between mine there in the car. And I offered up a prayer to God. I think it went something like this. Well, I drove on home and I went to bed and I had a dream that night. And this is not my normal experience. God does not often come and speak to me in my dreams, but this is how it went. That night I had a dream, and I was on a lakeside that I recognized in my dream state as being the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus comes walking along. I knew it was Jesus because, you know, it's my dream. And he stops, and we turn around, and there's this whole crowd up on the hillside, and Jesus starts preaching, and he tells the story of the two men I met that night. And when he's done telling the story of those two men, he pauses for a moment and he looks at the crowd and he says, I ask you, which of these men is closer to the kingdom of God? And I remember the man at the wedding said, I'm fine, thank you. I don't need God's forgiveness. And I remember the man who climbed out of my car and wiped tears out of the corner of his eyes with the heel of his hand and stumbled into his house. And I knew the answer. See, judgment starts here. It starts in the temple. And that's why, as God's people, we sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's why, as God's people, we come periodically and kneel to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ and forgiveness. That's why, as God's people, we lean on His grace all the more. It doesn't make us better. It's our only hope. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let God's people say,